family tree. It stays wilted, and I heard this was the land of the free. Slaves built this, so remember when they... All right, welcome to a live edition of the Rob Revere Show, right here, revereradionetwork.com, revereradio.net. It is 11:06 p.m. on April 15th, 2016, a day that normally we would think would be tax day, but that's actually not the case this year, as tax day's been delayed till April 18th. Thought maybe I'd get into that a little bit tonight, but most importantly, though, I will have on the air with me a special guest, and Tonight on the broadcast, we do have with us psychological thriller author James Summers. We're going to discuss James, who he is who he is, and why he writes the way he writes. Picking Murphys is his latest book, which we're going to be talking about. It's a complex thriller, and it unfolds as Matthew and Robbie become intertwined in the supernatural. James, welcome to the Rob Revere Show. How are you, sir?
Good to be here.
Good. I'm glad to have you here with me. So let me ask, can I get you to maybe introduce yourself to the audience, let them know a little bit about yourself, who you are, and why you write the way you do, or the particular stories that you write?
Okay. Well, my name is James Summers. I consider myself a psychosocial horror author. Like the scary nightmares, dreams. I like to bring out the good and bad people, and the bad and good. And I believe that everybody has both deep down inside. I've written about nine novels. I've only published two. Currently working on another. But this one here is fun for me. Everything has got a little bit of something that I think of and a unique way that I choose to write about it.
I've seen throughout time and throughout literature the way that certain writers, such as yourself, focus on both the two sides to every man scenario, and I really appreciate that. As far as this new book, Picking Murphys, let me ask you, James, what was your inspiration for writing this particular story?
This one here, I've always liked the old story of good versus bad. Always interested in that, but I always also knew that it wasn't always the way it seemed. It wasn't always a happy ending. It wasn't always something that everybody would think the way it should be. You just see stuff, too much stuff on TV. You see mentally bad on TV. So I wanted to also show the bad, because there's news in that. There's definitely a good story in the bad part. But I also wanted to let people know that there is conflict, and conflict goes with good as well. So I wanted to stress that this is just a couple, a married couple, two kids, so that kind of gets torn apart when someone takes an interest in them. So that's kind of where I went with this story.
Okay. Well, let me ask this, because you speak about the characters, and they are very strong characters, I'll give you that. But are they reflections of you? If so, or if not, I mean, how did you come about creating these particular characters?
Nothing personal with here. I don't have any kids myself. My wife and I are happily married in Southern Indiana. So I have some pets, you know, but that's about as far as that goes. So nothing personal with this, other than just being involved with church off and on different times during my life. Hearing about the good things, the conscience, what to do, what's morally correct. And in this book, you'll see several different takes on that. As I've met people through the years, I just took little bits and pieces of something that I thought was interesting, and morality is definitely a big part of that.
Okay. What do you think the main point that you'd like to get across to readers? What would you like to see readers get from this book?
Definitely understand that when you see someone that does something, there's a reason that's personal to them. Good, what you might consider good might be something a little different for the next guy. And just because it is different doesn't mean it's good or bad. There's extremes no matter where you go. And this one touches a little bit of fanatical mentality, if you will, of somebody willing to do good in their head at whatever cost. For example, if you were given a letter that said that a lady named Sarah is going to be in the cafeteria, and so she's going to do something bad tomorrow. All I know is that she wore a white shirt, she has a skirt, and long blonde hair. And then you decide on yourself, you're going to do good. You're going to go take care of Sarah. You're going to dispatch her because you think that she's really that bad. When you go in the cafeteria, there's three people that look just like her. Would you be the person that would hurt everybody? Mm. Knowing that one of these women is Sarah and she has to be stopped at all costs? Or would you just wait, not do anything, then read about Sarah in tomorrow's news?
Well, I will say this. It reminds me of the old adage, Mr. Summers, that being that the road to hell is paved with good intentions, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, someone like yourself who's actually written 9 books and published 2, what would you tell someone else out there who might be an inspiring author contemplating publishing a book?
Take lots of notes. The first one that I had set on my water cooler for like 2 years before I even took it over to be edited. Good notes, reread multiple times. And you got to have a support circle. You have to have some good people that you can send your book to and then let them kind of read bits and pieces and have them give you good feedback. But it's all about character development, making sure that you actually think of how somebody is going to act, and then the notes are very important. You can get lost in something that has, you know, just hundreds of pages. You're going to get lost if you don't take good notes, and just have fun.
Okay, have fun. I like that. Let me ask you this. Are you involved with social media at all? How can folks be able to reach out to you personally if they have questions after hearing this interview or maybe reading 1 or 2 of your books?
Good stuff. I love social media. I'm all about getting feedback, good or bad, doesn't matter. I've got an author website. It's called PeggyLanders.com. Just the word Peggy, the word Landers.com. It was going to be my writer name. I was going to go as Peggy Landers, as who I would, you know, portray this. A lot of my stories initially were psychosocial, still are, but mainly with women characters, with the characters that grew and focused, and the ones that were either good or bad, or the ones that were really hard, were women. So I thought that that might come over better, but I kind of liked the name, so I stuck with it. So, yeah, I know it's crazy, but who knows? There may be a book released under Peggy Landers' name down the road, but for right now, you can find me there. It also has my Twitter handle. I've got a Facebook author site under my name, just James Summers, and all this is available on PeggyLanders.com, as well as email addresses for other contact.
Okay. I have one more really big question for you. Who are some of your influences as far as other authors out there writing thriller novels?
Okay. As much as people would like to think it would be Stephen King, I love Stephen King, of course. I love Clive Barker. Those are some guys that I really enjoy the way they describe and the way they hit on the subjects that they write about. But the person that wrote Goosebumps,
R.L. Stine.
Yes. Now, not necessarily the Goosebumps series, but the other works. That's what I like the best, and I'm kind of people kind of compare me to that format as far as the way I describe and the words that I choose to use.
Okay.
So that's pretty interesting to think that. I never thought there'd be a correlation with that, but a lot of people that have read my first novel and this one here think that that's what they compare me to.
Well, are you working on any other books at this time? Are there any? What can we look for in the future?
Well, both of these books that are out, my first novel and my second novel, are actually trilogies. They're all 3 books have been written, but they're not published. And I didn't want to really go all into it if I didn't get good feedback, if it didn't kind of go over well. I wanted to see which one I wanted to publish next. So the one I'm working on now is actually titled First Responder.
Okay.
So it's a social thriller. It deals with society. It deals with, it's got a dark, of course, character in there. So that's about all I really want to say this time, but okay. It's a little bit different than the other two.
All right, yeah. You're going to keep us in suspense. Where can folks pick up your work picking Murphy's, James?
Well, both of these novels are actually available on the internet. Some of them are not necessarily on store shelves yet, so the next publisher that I choose will be a little bit different. That's just the way I chose to get started. It was a right fit for me at the time. So you can get anything online. The ebook format is available, hardcover, softcover, as well as all your normal places. Bookstores can order it, so I'm out there. I'm available. It's just those two are directly not on the shelves at this time, so you have to go through contact on social media, my Facebook page, my Peggy Landers website, or actually just go in and download the ebook and see if you like it.
Fantastic. James Summers, author of Picking Murphy's. It's been a pleasure having you on the air this evening, and I look forward to getting a hold of some of your future works, okay?
All right, I appreciate you, sir.
Hey, have a great night, sir.